This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Please be seated. And as you sit, if you would be so kind as to take out a copy of the Red Book of Common Prayer that is in the pews, and I would invite you to open it to page 208. 208. And on page 208, you will see a prayer in the middle of the page that is labeled number 3 for stewardship of creation. I would like us to read that together, please. O merciful Creator, whose hand is open wide to satisfy the needs of every living creature, make us, we beseech thee, ever thankful for thy loving providence, and grant that we, remembering the account that we must one day give, may be faithful stewards of thy bounty. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Spirit liveth and reigneth, one God forever and ever. Amen. There is such a wealth of theology and good teaching and wonderful prayers that exist in this Book of Common Prayer that it is good periodically to go back to it, and especially this one that pretty much preaches the sermon for us on this gospel today and the time of year that we are in, satisfying the needs of every living creature. Blessing of the animals. Make us ever thankful for thy loving providence. Grant that we, remembering the account that we must one day give. That's the end of the parable today. It'll be taken from you and we give it to others who are better stewards. And then finally, just a reminder that we are called to be those faithful stewards. There is such a wealth of good things that are in this book that I commend it to you periodically if you're looking for something to base your prayer upon, to pull some things out of there. That particular prayer is one that is designated towards what are called rogation days. And those of you who go back a long time and perhaps from a more agricultural background, the rogation days were and still are days where we pray for the successful harvest and thanksgiving for the harvest all around that whole agrarian society in which we used to exist more. So there are some incredible, incredible teachings in this gospel story today. In our first reading of those Ten Commandments from Exodus and that incredible continual reading of Philippians from Paul. I told some of you the story some years ago about when we had back-to-back hurricanes here in Florida. If you go back that far, we had Jean and Wilma. And when we had that first one, it was very clear that gasoline was going to be short in supply. And that was before all the gas stations had generators. And so there was this rush to get gasoline just in case. And so I had a big 5-gallon thing, and I filled it up and put it in the trunk of my car because I knew that sometime I was going to need that gasoline. And I passed people on the highway, on the roads, during those 2-3 weeks where we didn't have electricity and the gas stations couldn't pump. But I knew I had the 5 gallons in my trunk. And I kept going and kept going, and then finally it came time for me to pull that out and use it, and I realized that it had tipped over and it had spilled all over the trunk of my car. It took over a year to get that smell out of the trunk. Learned a lesson. The next hurricane came. Wilma, Jean, whichever one it was back then, and I decided, okay, God, I learned from that experience. The first person I see who looks like they're on the side of the road without gasoline, I am going to give them the 5 gallons that I have replenished that's in my trunk. And so sure enough, I am driving down 95. I get off, And there on the side of the road is this lady with her gas cap open, which would indicate she's out of fuel, in this brand new BMW. I didn't say a word. I'm in my collar. I go, I get the gasoline out of my trunk. I pour the 5 gallons into her particular gas tank. I shut the lid, and she just says, "I'm late, I gotta go." And off she goes. No thank you, no nothing. And I start to get a little irate with her, but then I start thinking, Marty, remember last time? The call was to help others. Now you had the opportunity to do so. Called to be caretakers for God. And we can so easily forget that it has nothing to do with what we deserve, but it is all the graciousness of God that enables us to have what we have and to be who we are. And that call becomes for us to live a life of gratitude in response. This parable today is one of only three in the whole Bible that are in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three synoptic gospels. The other two are the sower and the seed and the mustard seed, in case you ever get that for Trivial Pursuit. But this particular one, Matthew chooses to give it his own twist because he doesn't want his audience to miss the message. And remember, we're in that section of Matthew's gospel that comes after the triumphal entry into Jerusalem by Jesus on Palm Sunday, after he has turned the tables over in the temple, after he has been healing these people that drives the religious leaders crazy, and after these other two parables have been told that we have been dealing with these past couple of weeks. And so now Matthew wants to make it clear in telling this parable, don't miss it, this is about Jesus. This is about what you are doing, religious leaders, of hanging on to all of your laws and forgetting about why you were put there in authority in the first place. And so Matthew takes some liberties with his story. He changes some of the wording around so it'll be very clear that this is about Jesus. This is about what you have done. His audience obviously is post-Jesus. But as he tells the story, as Jesus would tell the story, it is predictive of what's just about to happen to him. Down to the point where Matthew takes the stories of what they did successively to the slaves and those who come and divides them into two camps to symbolize the prophets who came before the exile that they rejected. And then the second camp of them are all those prophets they rejected after the exile. And then he talks about they're going to kill the son and they take him out of the vineyard. This is a direct reference to the fact that Jesus had to be crucified outside the walls of Jerusalem. So there's no mistaking about what he's trying to refer to here. This is what you're doing. This is what you're going to do to Jesus, to his audience. This is what was done to Jesus. And it all goes back to a forgetting that we are stewards. Nothing more, nothing less. And that is an incredible gift that we are given. It's a gift that Paul finally realizes when he is talking to the church of Philippi, the first church that he started in Eastern Europe. He's trying to get them to understand that it's not about us. It's about being grateful for what God has done for us. He's talking at the beginning of this section about, you know, if there's something that gives you priority and status, it's like having the 5 gallons of gas in your trunk. He said, if there's anybody that had that status, it was me. I was a Jew. I was this. I was that. I had all of this status in society. But now I consider that worthless. Nothing. The translation we get is rubbish. And that, my friends, is a euphemism. If you were going to put the right word in there, it would be doggy do. Substitute your own word for that kind of stuff. But he's trying in the greatest way to get his audience to understand all of that stuff is nothing once I compare it to the love that God has poured out to me in Jesus. It's not about my status for how I was born or what I have or what I've done. It's all about this grace that has been poured into my heart. And that's all I want. That's all I want in my life is more of it. The rest of it is rubbish. A powerful story that he gives to us in that regard. So there's two takeaways I want us to leave with today with this particular parable. One is, we've all experienced rejection in our lives. Perhaps currently, perhaps in our past, perhaps scars have been left because of it. And we should take great comfort and consolation knowing that we serve a God who experienced the same, rejected. The whole salvation history is a story of God's unrequited love. He loves Adam and Eve. They reject him. He sends the prophets. They reject the prophets. He sends his own son, and his own son is rejected. So there is no way that God doesn't understand when we feel that rejection. So we should take great comfort in a God that we serve who understands. Secondly, there is the challenge part of this gospel, to understand that we are merely stewards. Remember Bishop Friday? Almost every time he came here, he talked about the fact that he was the interim bishop between the bishop before him and the bishop that will come after him. He reminded me many times, you are the interim rector of this parish between the priest who came before you and the priest that will come after you. He preached many times to all of us in this diocese that we are the interim leaders. We are meant to be good stewards. And we know what happens when we aren't good stewards and good tenants. Things happen. And so it becomes for us sort of a reminder to maybe get a kick in the pants, maybe to understand that we have been gifted with so much, and it's not just for our own sweet selves, it's for us to be sharing and offering to others, making a difference in our world. Tony Campolo tells this great story, another parable. But he tells about this city that had this incredible oil refinery. And they were so proud of it. It had the latest technology. It had the best of everything. And they were so proud of it, they kept it spotless. But they really didn't want anybody coming to this place because they didn't want it to get dirtied up. But finally, some visitors convinced them that they should be able to take a tour. And so they did. And so they take them around this place from room to room, from factory to factory, from processing to processing. And these people are so impressed with the beauty and organization of this place. And the tour is coming to an end. And finally, one of the visitors says, well, could we see the shipping department? What? Well, you know, oh, you refine all this oil, you have to ship it out. And the person says, we don't have a shipping department. All the oil we refine needs to be used to keep this place going. A powerful reminder to us, what we have is not just for us. It's for us to use, for us to be those good tenants, to turn over the produce to the master when he comes. How might God be calling us to be better stewards? Taking comfort in knowing that we serve a God who too, along the way, was rejected. Amen.